leave.
Blog Talk Radio.
You did it, Drake.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah, here we go, people.
Oh, that is
all
right. Let's do this.
D0, we made it on time.
Hey, five seconds, baby.
Gentlemen, I mean, I just got to say, man, that was some stress. Like, it wasn't taking my power. I'm like, man, 15 minutes in, I'm like going nuts, man. So, anyway, appreciate you guys. What's happening to you guys? Are you guys good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm here.
Okay, I'm making sure. I think we got Gary, you guys are online? You guys made it? Okay.
We are online, yeah.
Nice.
I'm having
nice.
A problem getting in with this Zoom.
All right. We'll get you guys in there whenever you guys get a second. But, again, we got a lot of things. We got to see your faces whenever we talk about Andy Dalton, man. So that's going to make everything worthwhile for sure. So we're going to wait for you guys to jump on.
Oh, man.
Not because I'm making funny, because we were talking about last week, man. No. I am not making funny because I got a lot of stuff that happened, you know, Braves, everything. But it was just everything that happened, and the texting back and forth was just like classic, man. So again, we are just looking forward to seeing your faces, man. So again, welcome to Talk to Sports with the 12th man, just sliding in under the tag, man. We made it. And as always, let me check in with my fellas. Thank you. How you feeling, bro?
Hey, man, I'm good. It happens. Sometimes you have technical difficulties. This is my last week for still celebrating my my Lakers, so I figured I'd give y'all the one I only wear every now and again for the people on Zoom. I break out the gold and white USA basketball. That's magic, baby. Number 15.
Nice. Okay.
And those to go with them. There it is.
Oh,
I'm good. I ain't gonna stun y'all no more. That's my last stop for at least 3 or 4 weeks.
Jake, you've been stunting the whole like 4 or 5 weeks, man. Every Laker, man. That's what's up, man. He's looking fresh and so clean. I see you, player. Like,
he's celebrating the championship, and he couldn't even tune into the team to watch. Tune into the game.
I watched
the
second half. You stop it. I watch the second half.
Oh, man.
Let's you watch the first half and the second half.
No, I watch the second half.
I love it. Rob Ford, what's going on, sir?
Hey, man, doing good, man. Ready to get this party started.
Always short and sweet. No asparagus talk this week. Curtis, Gary, you guys doing all right, man?
Had some of both lunch and dinner today, but it's all good.
That's a given. That's like sunset and sunrise.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we're doing good. We're doing good out west. We're still, of course, licking our damn wounds, but
that's okay.
Get on the video.
I'm trying.
What is it saying?
Yeah, that was stinky. And we don't know what to do. What a mess.
Take that movie back to Blockbuster. I told you I've seen that movie before. You don't want it.
That didn't look like no before movie. That looked like a new movie. And it's a horror story.
No, that is the same movie I saw for a lot of years, bro. Welcome to my life.
JQ did call that, man. That was
he tried to tell y'all
last week. I was like, I cannot wait to see JQ today, because he was laying it. I was like, y'all, he was cussing. Y'all had him going. had him on fire. That's how much he was like, yeah, don't make me, man. It was, that was hilarious, man. So, again, that was just like par for the course, you know. And then, and at first, you know, and to be honest, really quickly, I know we got a lot of things to talk about. I'll set the show up. I think the Cowboys, they kind of came in thinking that they're just the Cardinals, you know, at first. Like, yeah, they're just the Cardinals. They didn't really think. And then next thing you know, they started getting that ass. And they're like, whoa, we got to, like, step it up. And it was too late. So, yeah.
You hear that? Somebody's got some.
I
got
you. Yeah, I got it.
All right. Well, just let us in the meeting. I think we're in. So let us in. You can see our, so you can see our sad faces.
Can you guys hear me? Am I
yeah,
sounding good?
Hear,
okay.
Hear?
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I hear like a little. I hear like a little echo here.
Yeah, we're really sad.
Are you still on the computer audio, Dre? That could be it.
Maybe
I am.
Right. Okay.
How's that?
How's that? Is there an echo?
Is
everyone muted? Do you still hear that?
Slightly. I think we're good.
Okay, cool. All right. We'll go ahead and dive in. Let's get this party started here. So, yeah, let's get this party started really quickly. Let's do a World Series update. Rob, I'll let you jump into that, and then JQ, and then we'll talk about this Cowboys drama, if you will, man, because we've been holding off for this.
Yeah, well, you know, just looking at the game right now, the Devil Rays are, well, they're not the Devil Rays, they're just the Rays now, I keep forgetting. But the Rays are up 6-3, and, you know, looking to tie this series up at 1, you know, Dodgers came out, you know, Mookie Betts, I tell you, man, he has been insane. Yeah, he probably saved the Dodgers about 4 runs in that series against the Braves. You know, he stopped a couple of home runs, a couple of incredible catches, a couple of incredible throws. And then, of course, getting on base, scoring runs last night, hit a homer as well. So he's been outstanding. A little quiet tonight, you know, with the Rays. Blake Snell's been pitching phenomenal in this game, and they got a 6-3 lead. But top of the 8, still a couple of innings left to play here.
Listen, you touched on it. And a loss in some of it. And I think he got his just due in that Braves series, but Corey Seager was so ridiculous for the Dodgers in that Braves series. I mean, my gosh, he was just launching home runs. But Mookie Betts in the defensive right field was flat out a stud.
Yeah.
You're talking about just, again, it's not just making those plays. You could feel the momentum shift in those games after he made those plays and how the Braves didn't respond and how the Dodgers got going. But him and Corey Seager, I mean, Bellinger, of course, in Game 7 with the
Bellinger's
home run.
Bellinger's been outstanding, too.
Pops his shoulder out, you know. But that's not available for Bellinger if Seager has to play with the home runs and Mookie Betts, you know, in defensive outfield. None of that happens for Cody Bellinger after that. So I just want to make sure. I'm not a Dodgers fan, but I want to give them their credit because that was insane. But it seems like it takes Mookie a little bit to get going in the series because he had the same problem at the beginning of that Braves series. He didn't get going until about games 3 or 4. But then game 1, bang, well, he had 2 or 3 stolen bases and a home run. Like, he just is playing on a whole other level. And people that, you know, they've seen him because he played with the Red Sox, and the Red Sox have been there. But I think you're getting a full-blown appreciation. When you hear somebody say he's a 5-2 player, they're talking about a Mookie Betts, a dude that can hit for average, play defense, play, you know, run the bases. It's just – that guy gave him a lot of credit. He just has had a phenomenal last – I don't even know if it's been the whole series, you know, whole playoff postseason, but like the last week, he's just been, you know, challenging Trout almost for, you know, the face of baseball right now because the Angels aren't making the playoffs, and now he's doing this for the Dodgers on the big stage. So shout-out to him. Tampa has a ridiculous pitching staff. Morton and Blake Snell and those boys in that bullpen – they are deep. They can just mission match. They can start a closer, or they can just go closer in the 6th inning if they feel like it. They're just ridiculous from a pitcher staff standpoint. The thing is, could they hold that Dodgers offense that got woken up against the Braves? And they didn't do it in game 1. So far, they're doing it in game 2.
Yeah. And we said that Betts saved about 4 or 5 runs in that Braves series. That, you know, the Braves, if it wasn't for that, the Braves would have won that series. It was no doubt about it. I mean, he saved about 4 or 5 runs in that game from being scored. And Kershaw came up big for the Dodgers here in game 1, too. You know, he's been hit or miss in the playoffs in his career. He's been outstanding in the regular season. And but he was outstanding in game one yesterday, too, to get the Dodgers off to that 1-0 lead. Tonight you're getting it from Blake Snell for the Rays.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you talk about Mookie, it wasn't like it was one game that he did it for the game seven. He saved a couple of games for
yeah.
the Dodgers against the Braves. That's what's so insane about it. Like, if a dude saves one game, you're like, man, that's phenomenal. Good job, Mookie. But when he saves multiple games with defense, he's got to get your cap on. It was, he was crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah,
don't get it twisted. But
sorry,
I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand what the Dodgers were doing in this second game with all the pitches they were rotating. I'm not sure what that strategy is, and I'm not sure what they were doing with all that in this second game here. Well, going through that pitcher rotation, what I saw in this game, too.
Smoke them if you got them. That's what they said. We ain't going to leave
yeah.
no stone unturned. Smoke them if you got them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all
yeah.
I got. I mean,
don't
yeah.
get it twisted. Dodgers had a lot of pressure on them to win because they've been out before the five last year, so they got in. And right now the pressure is on them. I'm liking the fact that the Rays are they're a fun team, and they just love. I don't know if you saw the dance videos after that. They're just a fun team to actually root for too, and that's just not the Braves hate,
mm-hmm.
but. You know, again, you kind of like what they're doing, too. So, shout out. And that's a scary-ass lineup, too. So, I do give the Braves some credit for, you know, hanging with them. You know, they just – that's murder's row, man. So, congrats. And Mookie Betts played his ass off, as we talked about, too. So, good job, man, as well.
Yeah. We look at this Rays team. They're not a franchise that's spending a ton of money, either. And they put together
yeah.
a really nice ball club. And you look at
money
the Dodgers, their payroll is probably – twice the payroll of the
second,
Rays here.
Second payroll. Yep.
Yep.
I think Ruffin
more than
won.
That. They said that Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw's prorated salaries for this year, I think, is more than the entire Rays team prorated salary
yeah.
for this
yeah.
year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So you got a team
yeah.
that's really supposed to be here, not supposed to be here, and you know it's just. Very interesting how the Rays have been able to get it done. And then you look at their farm system, they're doing a tremendous job in developing talent, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
acquiring it. They got that deal from Cardinals.
You were talking about a Rays team that has been fun to watch. It hasn't been that fun. You know, they've been playing against the Yankees this year, and they've been
yeah.
and they've been
kicking
in
the Yankees' ass. Mm-hmm.
And that has not been. That has not been fun.
I mean, Yankees would have shot to knock them off
in
the playoffs.
In
the regular season, the Rays were just kicking the Yankees' ass. And Jake Hugh just mentioned Seager, and he just hit a solo home run.
There it
cut
is.
The lead to
six. Yeah, that dude has been a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take that dude for steroids. Hey, guys, I'm excited. We got Naj on the line, too, man. So, Naj, you literally came
oh,
at
no.
perfect time.
Oh, no. Naj, too. Okay.
Perfect time. Naj is here. I think we got to set this up, too. Naj, we were just getting ready to talk about how we lit up, you know, JQ was, like, hot about Andy Dalton and what happened. Just not – the best team from Andy Dalton versus the Cardinals. Naj, you with us, bro?
Take off the blazer, loosen up the tie, step outside the booth. Superman is alive. Hey, how y'all doing, man? I'm awesome.
Nice.
I may have visited a few liquor stores today, and yes. I want all my accolades for my predictions, which were correct. When you start a guy who has been historically terrible, mediocre, average in every other way you could describe a middling quarterback, when you put him in a position under pressure as the captain of a number one offense, guess what? The ship's going off course. I warned y'all, hopefully you put your money in the right place. But as you can see, never bet on Andy Dalton. It's bad for your health. Yes, sir.
I don't blame Andy Dalton. I blame Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm trying to figure out in the defensive backfield why these guys are running right past everybody in the defensive backfield. And Kyler Murray is legit. I've been telling you guys for a long time that Kyler Murray is legit.
Well, this is
the
syndrome. Cincinnati fans suffer from this same Stockholm syndrome. They said, well, Andy's good. You know, we go to the playoffs. You know, he's pretty good. And they fall for this trap, too, where they say, it's not Andy's fault. They sound like Doc Rivers. It's not Blake's fault. And what actually happens is Andy, like a virus, he attaches himself to you. And you wish good for him.
Andy's not playing defense. He's not playing defense.
Football player.
And neither are the Cowboys. And Ezekiel, I would like to know where his head was at in this ball game, because it sure wasn't on holding on to the ball.
Wow.
That's not Andy Dalton.
Gary and Curtis, please believe I was ready for you guys this week. So don't think that like I'm just walking in here heavy-handed, just spouting out things. I want to tell y'all something. From 2011 to 2014, the Cincinnati Bengals went to the playoffs. You want to know what Andy's quarterback rating was? 57.8. You want to know what his stats were? One touchdown, six interceptions in four games that were playoff losses. That is Andy Dalton. See, I don't make this up, man. I'm trying to help you. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you make the right bets.
Trying to help y'all not get your hopes up too high.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's abusive. Don't let Andy Dalton get a hold of you, man.
What happened on Monday?
At
one time, as bad as everything was in Dallas, even with Andy Dalton, I thought they could still win this division. What happened on Monday, I do not think that anymore. This team is probably not. And it ain't Andy Dalton's fault why this team is probably not going to win the division.
No, give him time.
He's got a historically horrible defense. And I'm not saying Andy Dalton is the savior of all saviors. I thought that if he had time to throw and Ezekiel Elliott didn't have his head up his ass and losing the balls like he did horribly, that you could manage a game. Not go out there and be the superstar. Not go out there and be what Dak Prescott's been this year for the Cowboys, the captain and the leader of the team. But I felt like he could be a part of the team. But when you got a defense, you might as well play Andy Dalton at middle linebacker or safety. He could cover just as good as these guys could. They couldn't cover Jack Diddley shit. They couldn't beat a damn junior varsity high school team. They absolutely couldn't. They're probably the worst defense I've seen, at least in Dallas, maybe ever in this league. They're that bad they are.
Hold on, big dog. All right, go ahead.
Now you take Andy Dalton, and he's got third string center, two second string, you know, two of the offensive linemen are practice squad guys. You know, you got five offensive linemen out.
Yep.
And out for the year. You know, so you put that on a quarterback that's marginal. And you want to depend on that running back that's getting paid $100 million a year. And what does he do? He lets the team down by fumbling the whole thing out. Now you got players that want to, you know, it's coaching, it's this, it's that, it's everything. It's coaching. It's horrible defense. It's no starting quarterback, no offensive line. It's everything. I don't care if they win another game this year. I'd rather have them clean house and start completely over. This is a rebuilding year, which I didn't think was going to be a rebuilding year. I'd like to see them wipe everything out, including
the head coach
and the defensive coordinator.
Right, right.
Y'all still in first place, Gary.
Hold tight, Gary. I was messing with you earlier, but I'm being serious now. When you look at that Dallas personnel on defense, is that a group that doesn't have talent, or is that a group that is being put in a bad scheme and we're seeing bad play calls? Because I think it's more of the latter.
It's the latter. It is the latter. I mean, they got Everson Griffin. They got the linebackers.
Right, right. These aren't bums. And I think those leaks that are coming out, like think about this, man. You don't get leaks like that in football. Because if you say stuff about a GM or a coach or stuff like that, you can end up not being on a roster anymore going forward in your career. Football players don't do this unless looking at a game plan and they're saying this guy is incompetent and this head coach don't know what the hell he's doing. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to speak to that, Gary. Like, yeah.
Okay, so this is what I would say to that. I would say, you're right, you've got a couple of good linebackers and – you know, you've got a defensive end that's been out of the league for 5 years that's come in and has had some sacks. But I watched – so what I did is after I ignored the Texans and all that, and after I watched player to player. And
you're
I wanted
leaning
to see,
back on this one.
I wanted to see what players were doing well. The defense we're talking about right now. And I saw player after player on that defense give up. You know, I was an athlete.
Yeah.
And I wasn't always a champion. But whether I was a champion or not, I didn't give up on any play ever. I gave it my all every single damn time. And as an athlete, you have to do that. As a professional athlete, you have to do that. That's what you're paid to do. And I watched, can you imagine if Jimmy Johnson was coach of this team? He'd cut. There would be players there that we wouldn't even think would be cut, that he would cut, because he'd watch and he'd see that same film. I don't want any player on that team that is just going to give up. Nobody gives up on my team.
I agree.
I'd rather play with 10 guys.
But Gary, you are running away though a little bit. You're running away from the original thing though. We are seeing them be out schemed every week. We're seeing the safeties play shallow and somehow they get burned every week and there's no adjustment. We're seeing teams decide, hey, they're soft up the middle. We can run all we want to, and that takes away Aldon Smith, because to hell with him, we're gonna get the ball. Like, come on, man. Like, we gotta talk about schematically Mike McCarthy, who Aaron Rodgers ran out of town on a rail. Maybe he sucks. Maybe Mike Nolan sucks too. Like, we got to talk about that, man.
I think they both suck. That's what I said. Let's clean house. Let's get rid of the head coach, the defensive coordinator, and about half of those players on the team that are going to quit on them. And even if we have to suck for the next 3 or 4 years, let's bring in players that want to actually play football instead of take a third of the plays off.
Well, that's my disagreement with y'all. Y'all are not 3 or 4 years away. Y'all are one or two pieces on defense and competent coaching away. Y'all are not three or four years away. That is.
I think you're right there. But, you know, I always thought that person in Detroit was a con man. And welcome to Jerry's world. Jerry just got conned. Oh, God. Some of these coaches are some of the biggest con artists in the world. Oh, yeah, Jerry. I can get your team playing good. Hey.
During my year off, I've been studying analytics. Yeah, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm up to date. Got conned. People get conned out here. And Jerry got conned.
That's a lot of Cowboys talk, America. We literally spent almost 15, 20 minutes talking about the drama with the Cowboys. That's how much Curtis and Gary are hurting right now.
The division
is
a disaster.
JQ, thank you for trying to set me straight last week. Try.
They keep staying out of this one.
I
was arguing last week.
No, the thing about it is, I think there's points to be made on both things of it. I think, and I'll take it back to this. I told you in the summer when they signed Andy Dalton, and y'all said, yes, we got the best backup quarterback. I said, there's no chance in hell that you ever want to see Andy Dalton quarterback in the Cowboys. They were like, well, no, we'll be okay. And I was trying to tell you then. I said, no, you do not want those problems. I've had those problems. You do not want them. And you saw it. But Gary and Curtis is also right. I think Zeke came into that game saying, I don't have Dak. It's got to be on me. And he was overdoing it, and he lost those two fumbles, and he put them in the hole.
Yeah.
But if you also talk about that first drive, Andy Dalton threw it right to the middle linebacker, and he dropped it. That should have been a pick right out the gate. Would have had nothing to do with Ezekiel Elliott fumbling that ball. So I think that's karma that came back to him. Wait a minute, I let you know. Where you know, I think CeeDee Lamb got, you know, pass interference on that other interception. Mm-hmm. I think that one was nonsense. Mm-hmm. But I think that was karma for the first one where he hit the middle linebacker in both his hands and he dropped that ball. So, but what you're getting into a glimpse is, if I'm being for real about who Andy Dalton is, I liken him to Ryan Fitzpatrick. You will get glimpses of those guys, and they will get you excited, and you'll say, hell yeah, that dude can be that dude. And then, not even in a different game, I'm talking about the next drive, he'll make a couple of throws or make a decision. You're like, what the hell are you doing? That is who that guy is. You can give him a ton of talent. And you're right, they have some problems on the offensive line. But I saw him have a number of times where he had a clean pocket. He had Amari Cooper. He's got Gallup. He's got CeeDee Lamb out there. And he couldn't find him or put it anywhere near him. That part of it is on Andy Dalton. And I'm just telling you, that's who that dude is. And he'll mess around and come back against the Giants and get your freaking hopes up. And you'll be like, hell yeah. Fuck JQ and Naj. They don't know if they're talking about Andy Dalton. He just took the Giants apart. And then he'll come back the game behind that and stink. And that's who he is. You talk about Jason Garrett being an 8-8 coach.
JQ,
who's an 8-8 quarterback.
JQ, what I saw with Andy Dalton after he threw that almost interception that the guy dropped in his breadbasket, what I saw him is he laughed about it. I don't know if you guys noticed that. He smiled and laughed and he said, look what happened. And I'm like, instead of, you know, if you make that big of a mess up, you should be upset with yourself. Let's not make this happen again. But it seemed to me that it was really no big deal to him, one way or the other.
Because he dropped
That's
it.
That's what. Well, nevertheless, he's the one that threw it. You know, and I would have been disgusted with myself if I would have threw that pass.
Agreed.
He was okay with
it. I agree. I won't take up any more time because you guys covered a lot of it. I didn't have to say a whole lot. And I wasn't sitting over here gloating because Ezekiel Elliott is my guy. He's an Ohio State guy. And he has to take some responsibilities for putting him in that hole. No doubt about it. But I've watched Dak, sometimes him, sometimes Zeke, put them in the hole and at least give them a fighting chance in the fourth quarter. You saw Andy Dalton. You didn't have a chance in the dark. If things don't go all the way well for him, then you don't have a chance with him. And that's what I was trying to warn you about. He's full on Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He'll make 3 or 4 things in a row, and you're like, yeah, Andy. And then he'll do 3 or 4 right behind him. You're like, dude, what the hell was that? That is who he is.
Well, you know, one of the things that Naj touched on was the coaching standpoint. And when you look at the Cowboys' offensive line situation, when you know you have a battered offensive line, you have to go to a quick passing game. And they did not revert to that in that game. And just from my analysis and watching that game, when your offensive line is beat up like that, you got to have a quick 3-step drop, get rid of the football game plan to protect the quarterback. And they never went with that. And I know that's hard to do when you got those big play weapons like Toomer and Gallup, and, of course, CeeDee Lamb. But you got to go to a quick passing game, a ball control offense, when your offensive line is beat up like that. And the Cowboys never went to that in that game. And it really hurt them. You know, they couldn't protect Dalton. And, you know, it just really hurt them from a game plan standpoint. They fell behind the eight ball and trying to recover. But that's what you have to do when your offensive line is beat up like that.
Yo, ass is old. Did you just say Toomer? Did you take it to Amani Toomer from the Giants?
Oh, I'm so
bad.
Yeah,
I said
Cooper.
No, Zeke was fresh.
I think he tried to make every play. He tried to make plays that weren't there and turn the ball over. So, yeah, Zeke deserves a lot of blame for the way that that game went. But you understand why.
Yeah, overdoing
it.
Hopefully,
yeah,
the rest of the season, he plays within himself.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, don't press and try to win the game with every carry. Like, no, dude, be yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with
You got something to add real quick? You got some add real quick, Liz?
Yeah, well,
you good?
I mean, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. I'll say one thing though. I mean, Monday's game was a complete disaster. I mean, it was just completely pathetic. I mean, how are the Cowboys expected to do well without Prescott anyway?
Yeah. Prescott definitely covered a lot of multitudes of sins, man, for you guys. You know, if you will. So, you know, I guess it's not as bad as you guys thought, but it got worse.
Yeah.
Hey, Curtis, what happened?
The whole division is okay.
Yeah, Curtis.
I don't know. We're off here.
Sunny side for the Cowboys is this. The division winner of the NFC East is going to get the worst pick of a division that is all rebuilding at the same time. So, first is actually the worst place to be. So, if the Cowboys, Giants, and Dunton don't get the first pick, that's fine. That means you get a higher pick. You get to set your rebuild the way you want to. Getting a home game where you get your doors blown off is not actually a win. So, winning the division is a loss to me.
And if you're the Redskins, you want to be the worst team in that division. Not only the worst team in the division, you want to be one of the worst teams in the league because you can have a shot at Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields if you're the Redskins,
Exactly. Definitely.
Right.
You've already given up on Haskins, so you need one of those guys. So
what
the hell is Ron Rivera doing? Chill out, man.
What?
You're trying to win, bro. I might get out here and Tanya Harding Julio if I see Julio in the street. Hey, bro, stop trying to mess up the place. Get back on the IR. What you doing? Don't let me see Julio out here.
Oh, my God. What's going on? I want to go back to a good comment that you made bringing up Ryan Fitzpatrick, JQ. So it looks like as we shift away from the Cowboys, we've talked enough about the Cowboys. The Dolphins, they're making the switch to Tua. Is that kind of a good decision right now? He played like the last 2 minutes of the game. So I guess, you know, throwing it. And it was just, you know, handed off, had a couple, you know, passes. But is the time now, I guess, the question. So, Curtis, Gary, hopefully you guys are going to join us back on Zoom. I don't know if you guys are protesting or what. But I'll let Rob, JQ, start with that. Curtis, Gary, and then bring it back around if you will, too. So go ahead, man.
I tell you what, I don't really know how to feel about this. I mean, JQ already touched on the Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, you're going to see that good game, then you're going to come back and, you know, see him go from Fitz magic to Fitz tragic.
Fitz tragic indeed.
That's kind of what you've seen over his history. But when you look at his Miami Dolphins team, you got to like what Brian Flores is doing. I mean, they're playing some really good football right now, really on both ends of the field. You saw them go to San Francisco and just beat their ass up and down that Bay Area, from Oakland to Sacramento, over to Berkeley. I mean, they just beat them all up and down the Bay Area. And I mean, we're 43-17 in the Bay Area.
Wow.
I mean, that defense, Flores is doing a phenomenal job, and they got some weapons now. When you look at Devontae Parker, Miles Gaskin's been running the football. Mike Gesicki has been an underrated tight end for this football team as well. They're doing some really good things here. So I'm a little torn on this one. I understand that Tua is your first-round pick. But, man, if you can look at the way that team has been gelling here over the last couple of weeks, I'm wondering if right now is the right time to make that decision. Flores probably has a really good pulse on that football team. And maybe they was waiting for Tua from the standpoint of his injury. And maybe right now they feel like he's actually ready. And so maybe that's why they waited to now. But when you just look at the way they're playing right now, you can make a case that right now they're the hottest team in that division in the AFC East right now and playing some really good football. I might have would have waited a little longer before I made the switch.
Yeah, and you were along the same path I was on. I think they had already predetermined in their minds they were going to get close to this bye week and make the switch, but they were thinking, you know what, instead of being 3-3, we're going to be 2-4 or 1-5. And it makes it so much more palatable to make that switch. But when you got the veterans on that team, not everybody on that team is a kid. And you got veterans on that team like, oh, holy smokes, it's hard to be 3-3 in the NFL. And nobody saw us coming. And now you're going to give me a rookie that, albeit a rookie that's got a lot of potential in them, but once we've never even seen take a game, you know, a snap in a meaningful game with the chips on the line. You take a chance of fracturing that locker room. I hope he has the pulse on it because I'm rooting for him, obviously, to do well. But I'm with you. I think I give Ryan one bad game, maybe if we're above 500 or 500, and maybe two to say, okay, you've lost the magic, and then I'm going to turn the two up. Because I think he was like seventh in QBR through these first 2 weeks. So like it wasn't like he was holding them back, and they were just doing – they were getting along without him. Like he was the catalyst for that team. You know, like you said, they destroyed the 49ers, in San Alameda. Like, they whooped their ass. So you got to give him a little bit more of a leash and those other veterans on that team saying, hey, we got a chance. There's seven playoff teams this year. We can flip into that sixth or seventh slot, and we may not go anywhere. But when you start talking about building up the culture back to where it used to be, you got to feel like he's earned that leash in this year, that you give him a little bit longer why nobody had them at 500, nobody had them in the thick of the NFC East or in that 6, 7, 8 slot. You got to give him a chance to say, okay, you burnt yourself out. It's no longer working. Let's go to the kid. But when you're 3-3 and you're in the top 10 in QBR, QB, that's got to be tough to hear.
Yeah, and they destroyed the Jets this past weekend. I know we're going to say it's the Jets, but, hey, they did what they were supposed to do with a team like that. I mean, they just flat-out whipped them. And so when you look at – and even some of their losses this year, they've been right in a lot of those football games. It seems as though their team is really turning the corner right now, the Dolphins are.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides of the football.
I don't think I'm going to say the good news is that now if Tua doesn't man up and doesn't turn out the way they think he might, they're still early enough in this process where they can go back to Fitzmagic. So I think they might be thinking about that, and that might be a good thing that they got a backup plan in case something happens to Tua and that. Now, all that cowboy talk, we're going to try to be back with you. But all that cowboy talk got really dark around here. It really messed up our world. And that's the result. But we're having fun. But, yeah, they got a backup plan. If Tua doesn't work out, let's go back to Fitzmagic. Come on, Fitzmagic. Let's win this division.
Well, if he doesn't, it's going to be Fitztragic.
Yeah, but the thing about that is when a dude comes out and tells the media that my heart hurt, and my heart hurt all day. Mm. I was heartbroken when they took me out because I was 3-3. That's going to be tough to go back to him, even if Tua struggles, because when a dude is playing that well and he tells you he was heartbroken and he told that to the media, you put him in a very special place as a quarterback, and I don't know if you can necessarily rescue him in this season. That's tough. Like, I was surprised he missed. I was surprised he said that.
Yeah. Hey,
too. Grown man. Yeah. What big boy saying, ATL's grown man business. Walk it off, son. JQ and Rob are great friends of mine, astute NFL minds. They have great opinions on things. I love the way that they explain themselves. However,
you know this is going.
They are completely wrong on this. If you're running the Miami Dolphins, you're thinking long term. Long term, you got your pick next year and the Houston Texans pick. What do you want to know? What's the biggest thing in your building? We want to know if Tua is the real deal. Give him snaps this year. Find out if he's the real deal. And if he's not, guess what? You're drafting another quarterback, and you're moving on from him. This is today's NFL, to where the most important chess piece on the board you want to secure. So in order to do that, you don't want to end up like the Giants, where they're wondering if Danny Jones is any good. You don't want to end up like the Jets, to where they're wondering if Sam Darnold is good, but Adam Gase is actually holding them back. You want to be sure in what you have. And let's be honest, folks. are we really going to fall for Ryan Fitzpatrick again? Like, do we not understand that bad Ryan was coming? Like, do we not get that good Ryan for a couple of weeks leads to bad Ryan where he's throwing pick sixes and got that look on his face with the chains on and the beard and all that, and you want to strangle him? Like, no. If you're the Miami Dolphins, the job number one is evaluate Tua. How do you evaluate Tua? You put him on the field. You find out if he's a legit number one pick and a franchise quarterback. And if he's not, later in the season, you take him off the field, you put Ryan back in there, and you draft another quarterback. But you have to evaluate him. This is your year to do that. You're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. Like, let's not act crazy. Let's not act like Ryan Fitzpatrick was about to win a Super Bowl this year. This is Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's done this to GMs all throughout the league. He gets checks and gets people fired. Why? Because of the start. That's what he does. Like, why are we falling?
But that's my point. You just made my point in trying to disprove my point. He is going to do that, and you're still going to get time to put Tua in the game. My point is, ride that hot piece while you can, but if you know it, like we all have said, that he's going to turn to Fitz tragic, you're still going to get that 5-6-game stretch at the end of the season to see if Tua's the dude and still have your draft side be okay, because if he does that and he goes from 3-3 to 3-5, then all the veterans in that locker room are like, okay, yep, he turns into the dude that we know him to be. You put Tua out there, nobody has a problem, and you still, if he struggles a little bit, which you expect, you still keep your draft side where it needs to be, but you at least let the string play out and still allow yourself to have time to do the Tua. And my only other thing about Tua has way too much pedigree. If you think you're going to give up on Tua after 1 year, after
a lot of things in life
starts,
is about timing, and I think it's the timing of the call is what I think we're questioning here. A lot of things in life is about the timing in the right situation and the right moment. And it's the timing of this call of pulling Fitzpatrick or Fitzmagic.
Dude,
I agree.
Whatever
you
want to
call
Fitzpatrick. What are y'all doing? This is Fitzpatrick. You sit his ass down. You put your good young QB in there, and you see what you have. If he falls on his face,
AQ makes a hell of a point. You wait until he goes back to Fitzpatrick, then you pull it. And all the veterans in the locker room are all on board. And right now, you just messed up the entire.
Games, bro. I need.
You just messed up the entire mood of that locker room now.
I don't care about the mood of the rebuilding Miami Dolphins. Most of the guys ain't gonna be there when we get for real. Brian Flores looking at them like,
rebuild.
You won't be here. You won't be here, and you won't be here. Like, no. 50 and a bunch of those renegades are 1 year rentals. They're not going to be there when it matters.
They just signed like three people who started from the Patriots to like 3 or 4 year deals. Those dudes going to be there, and they probably looking pissed like, dude, we were 3-3.
Hey, Mike Gesicki, Miles Gaskin, Devontae Parker,
Brian
Jones, all them dudes going
to
be there.
Hours are from 9 to 5. Come and talk to me about my decision to bench Ryan Fitzpatrick. Tell me how you want to pound the table for Ryan Fitzpatrick, so I can get your ass to hell
on the table
for
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well,
come in my office. What,
two games in a row?
A meeting.
Well, I tell you what, I would be glad to go back to Fitzmagic if Tua looks like that boy in Cleveland. If he looks anything like that boy in Cleveland, I'm going right back to Fitzmagic with a quickness.
You want to know, though, right? Gary, you want to know before the next draft where you have 2 first-rounders and 2 second-rounders, you want to know what you have. The Jets are the first place in the NFL because Sam Darnold might actually be good. And Adam Gase is so terrible, we don't know.
But what Rob and JQ were saying is there's time for that. That's all they were saying, is that there's still time for that. Now, I guess now is the time, so we're going to see.
Yep. But they're on a bye week this weekend. So, I mean, they obviously, as JQ mentioned earlier, he probably had this plan from the very get-go, regardless of what their record is. Hey, this is the perfect time, opportunity for him to be healed from his hip injury from last year in Alabama. and this is a perfect time to put it in the bye week, give him a couple of weeks to prepare for his next matchup. So, you know, we'll see. You know, Brian Flores may look like a genius from this. And, you know, as JQ mentioned, he's a brother we're rooting for, right? And,
right.
You know, and his team is playing outstanding. His team right now is playing outstanding. And, you know, we just have to question the timing of it all. But we'll see what happens.
Let's be careful outstanding in week seven. Like, this is early in the season. Tell Ryan Fitzpatrick to go in the corner and comb his beard, and you put the young boy in there. Then go over there and comb your beard. Uh-huh. We ain't got
time. Actually, call him and James Harden to hook up and comb them beards together.
You know what I mean? Go over there and comb your beard, dude. We ain't got time for this. We need to see if this young boy can play.
Hey, yeah,
I agree.
These games
are
early, but these games still count and they add up, though.
Yeah, you know what, though? In evaluating this dude now, we can move on after this. In evaluating this dude now, you put now more undue pressure on him because he's not walking into a 1-5 or 2-4, and there's no nothing. Even outside, I understand they're not going
to
win
the
Super Bowl.
NFL,
I'm not saying that.
But
he's walking into a 3-3 team that could potentially could have been the 17, and now he's got to walk in there and say, I got to keep this shit up afloat or do better than what Fitzmagic was currently doing. We all get the Fitzmagic is going to turn the Fitztragic. I'm not disputing that point at all. I'm just talking about the timing of it. At 3-3, now he's got to walk in and say, can I keep this thing going? That's a lot of pressure for the Brooks.
Andre, you're a Dolphins fan. What you got to say about this?
Not only are you going back from a team that's winning, you're playing Aaron Donald. Yeah, Rook, get out there. Perform. We want to see what you got.
I think there's a curiosity here. We see what Justin Herbert looks like. We see what Joe Burrow looks like. This guy got drafted before both of those guys. So we.
He didn't get picked ahead of Burrow. He got picked ahead of Herbert.
Yeah,
okay. And we see them, and we see these guys spark. Tua, can you spark like that? Let's see it. These young guys are showing you got. They're showing you the way to match it. Let's go.
I mean, I'm just going to say, I mean, I kind of agree with what, you know, Flores actually did say that he's like, you know, hey, it wasn't an easy decision, but he felt like it's the best thing for the team, you know. So, you know, obviously,
right.
You know, if you kind of follow what's happening, he was, you know, hey, we talked about it as a staff, personnel. And like you said, you know, it's interesting what Naj was talking about because it did say like a couple weeks ago he didn't say he was ready, you know. So like you said, you know, guy works out, we got to see what's happening. Let's see if he's ready. He looked good in practice. He's comfortable. Let's see what we got with his cat, you know. And then like you said, you already know, you've already seen that story, JQ. Rob, you said it. You know, we've already seen that picture. We've already seen that movie with Ryan Fitzmagic, Tragic, whatever you're going to call him. So what not? The time is now. So obviously as a closet, you know, Dolphin fan, you know, I think it's cool, man. Get him in there. You know, hope that Flores does his thing. He's definitely, you know, learning from his mentor, Bill Belichick, if you will. So we'll see how that plays out, man. So it's going to be a good, exciting time for the Dolphins. That's what I would say for that.
Yeah, they
think
stole
about
those
that.
Picks from Bill
like
O'Brien,
that?
And they can't waste them. So if Tua's not the answer, you got to use those picks to get another quarterback. I think that's the overwhelming thing that's pushing this. You know what I mean?
Yep,
this is the year where you
100%.
Got those picks and you need to know.
That's right. I agree. Hey, Rob, speaking of those picks, who are going to be what are the top NFL prospects going into 2021, if you will?
All right, let's go to my notes here. Well, of course, you know, nothing's changed at the top here. We know Trevor Lawrence is still the number one pick in this draft. Obviously, the Jets, the Washington Redskins, all getting ready for Trevor Lawrence. If you're the Jets, even with Sam Darnold, hey, you got a number one pick. You're going to have to take Trevor Lawrence. You still hadn't seen nothing out of Sam Darnold to convince you otherwise. You got to take Trevor Lawrence. You got Justin Fields, number two. And up there in Oregon, the best left tackle in the draft, Panay Sewell from Oregon, 6'6", 325 pounds. Got him as a third prospect. Jamar Chase, wide receiver from LSU, number four. Gregory Rousseau, defensive end from Miami. He opted out this season. You know, but scouts are still salivating over him as well as being the best pass rusher in a draft next year. Carlos Basham, one of the few bright spots on Wake Forest team as an edge rusher. He's number 6. Christian Barmore from Alabama, number 7. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Number 9, I got Patrick Surtain, cornerback from Alabama. Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle from Alabama as well. Again from Alabama, Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, number 11. Ohio State, Wyatt Davis, offensive guard. Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, maybe the closest player to Isaiah Simmons in his draft, too. Have him at number 13. Caleb Farley, cornerback, Virginia Tech. Trey Lance, a big talented quarterback from North Dakota State, a project, got him going number 17. And by far the best tight end in this draft is Kyle Pitts, tight end from Florida. He's been putting on a show so far this season as well. Trey Smith, offensive tackle from Tennessee, number 21. And another guy to watch is Marvin Wilson, defensive tackle from Florida State. He got him number 23 right now. He can easily move up into the top 10. He had a heck of a game this past Saturday night. I was watching that one against North Carolina when he upset Sam, what's the guy named? Quarterback Howell from North Carolina. They upset North Carolina this past weekend. He had a big game after a slow start this year. So he's a guy to watch. Sean Wade, cornerback, Ohio State, number 24. Got Creed Humphrey, the center from Oklahoma, number 28. Terrence Marshall, the other big wide receiver from LSU and a championship team last year. I have him going 29. And Dylan Moses, linebacker, Alabama, 30. And it looked like the Rays have evened the series up with a 6-4 win here.
Yes, they have. One quick question, Rob. Let everyone ask a question. We got like 5 minutes before we get to something. Where do you have Kyle Trask going for quarterback for Florida, man? Is he better than Trey Lance, if you will? Or, you know, so he's been really like kind of shooting up some draft boards from what I've been watching as well.
Yep, he's one to watch. Also, Zach Wilson from BYU is another quarterback that's on the rise, too. So those are definitely two guys to watch. Kyle Trask right now definitely playing like the best quarterback in the SEC, either him or Mac Jones or Kellen Mond. But he's going to be somewhere in the second, third round. Zach Wilson, another guy, quarterback from BYU, had a chance to watch him on Friday night. Really impressed with his accuracy as well and performed really well in that game, 4-0. Either 4-0 or 5-0 so far. So he's another one to watch that's on the rise.
Well, you know, I love my Buckeyes being there, and I know I'm a homer, but I'm really interested to see what happens with Trey Sermon, the graduate transfer from Oklahoma, because he's walking into a ridiculous offense with with Justin Fields in that offensive line. And he may have a chance. I know that they're running backs, and it might have to be like a Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing where he might sneak into the bottom part of the draft. But he's walking into a really ready-made situation in Columbus with that offensive line. And Justin Fields. So I'm interested to see how that pans out. But I understand why he's outside the top 30. We got two on there, so I'm good with that.
Yeah. Anyone else want to comment on that? Yes, no? Nas, good. Curtis, Gary?
Oregon supposedly has the third best class in the NCAA. And yeah. They are the preseason team to win the Pac-12 when they start in about another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
7 games.
Okay.
I got another blood. Von Holland, safety from Oregon, too. I got him number 15 overall, so he's another key player to watch from Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch college football, man, so it's always helpful to hear you guys talk about this stuff.
I do.
No. Salute.
Yeah, yeah. Pac-12 has been so disappointing lately.
Nice.
But I'm just glad we're having all the major conferences back in starting this week. We got the Big Ten, we got the Pac-12. Now we got football back for sure.
Yeah, Big Ten back this weekend. I think the Pac-12 will be back in 2 more weeks after this weekend. I think first weekend in November officially for the Pac-12.
November 7th.
Old State Nebraska, high noon on Saturday.
And they're playing.
Get out there
games,
and
correct?
Sacrifice your body for the university, boy.
Oh, oh my goodness.
Good. I know
that Big Ten football is like watching paint dry, though.
Yeah.
Hey, you wish you could watch the paint dry with that LSU offense.
Well, you know, our offense ain't been a problem. It's that defense LSU has been a problem, man. LSU can't stop the six of us right now.
Hey, JQ, give us a score. You guys are playing Nebraska. Give us a score. What's the score on that game?
They won't be out the gate crazy because they haven't played a for real football game in a while, and I don't care how much, you know, underwear football you play in and half pads and whatnot, it's going to take them at least a half to get going. So I call that game 31-14 Ohio State.
And Nebraska's going to be really interesting to watch here. Scott Frost, Martinez, 3 years of starting quarterback. I mean, obviously, I don't think they're going to beat Ohio State by any stretch of the imagination. Ohio State is a clear favorite to win the Big Ten this year. I like Minnesota from the Big Ten West. I think they'll be the team to watch. I mean, I think offensively they could be really potent. Rashard Bateman, I didn't talk about him, but I got him like 21 overall in my top 32 right now. By the way, it is posted on our Facebook page as well. But Bateman will be one to watch. Ibrahim at running back is going to be interesting to watch in Minnesota. And Taylor at QB is going to be interesting. So I think offensively Minnesota is going to be really good. How good are they going to be on defense is going to be the question. But I still like them overall to win the West. And obviously Ohio State to win the East. And Ohio State-Minnesota Big Ten championship game with Ohio State obviously winning it.
I'm going to take Wisconsin in the West. Until somebody can prove it to me, I'm going to take Wisconsin. They just find a way.
I was going to say really quickly for Nebraska, Tommy Frazier is not walking through that door, guys. It's not going to happen, man.
Sure the hell ain't.
Nope.
Bringing that old school wishbone off.
Lawrence Phillips either.
Hey,
I was going to say, these are Lawrence Phillips. Stick the words out my mouth.
I don't go that direction. That dude was a challenge, but he was the asswipe, too. Hey, Rob, just do the fantasy shout-outs before we get ready to wrap up the OT portion, wrap to the OT portion.
All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week. We just finished week 6 in the league, league number 1. My team had the biggest win of the week, Death Valley, 167.06 over Big Fast and Strong, 58. My team's in first place, Death Valley, at 5-1. League number 2, the biggest win of the week, Paul in Atlanta, his team Bears Nation, won 175.10 to ATL Black Belt, 89.42. Andre's team in first place, playoffs, 4-2. All right, league number 3, my team got my ass kicked. Mark Robinson's team beat my team 210.94 to 113.52.
That was an ass kicker, man. That's okay, though.
Yeah, what do you have, the Falcons and the Vikings? What the hell? And Derrick Henry?
If you know Mark Robinson, he picked everybody that plays for the Falcons, so it could have been true.
He does. Matt Ryan had his best week.
JQ's team in first place, Ohio Players, with a 4-2 record in league number 3. All right, in league number 4, my team had the best win, Flash Ford, 146.22, the Birds Flew South, 76.50. And my team, Flash Ford, is in first place with a 5-1 record. So those are your fantasy shout-outs of the week. We look forward to week 7 starting on tomorrow night.
Cutter, I'm 5-1 in one of those leagues, too. And I beat JQ's team by 1 point in the league.
No, you beat me by like 5 freaking points because Christian Kirk
points.
Called an 80-yard bomb
that's
against
right.
the
yeah,
damn
that's
Cowboys,
right. That's
just
right.
butt-naked wide open running down the field. I said, get out of here, man. Come on, dog.
I beat one team by like one point. I beat JQ's team by like 5 points. I was like, yeah. I was like, the hair.
And you know what's worse about that, Gary and Curtis? In that league, I drafted Dak and Zeke. So I lost Dak, and then Zeke lost 2 fumbles in the first quarter. And then he had Christian Kirk. And Christian Kirk called it that 80-yard bomb. That was a home black well.
It was like my 5 points, man. But I won by one. It was crazy, man. Oh, my God. That was good, man. I'm 5-1 in those leagues, Rob. I'm not in first place for that one. Who's in first?
I got you in
True
first
story.
Place, league number 2.
Okay,
and I'm in first place, league number 1.
Okay.
And
okay.
JQ's in first place, league number 3.
Okay. I got to look at that. Okay, that's fine. Okay, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We had a lot of fun tonight. Obviously,
You can't get enough of Andy Dalton talk, because he has dominated our show for 2 weeks in a row, people. So you don't want to miss it. You might make it to week three. You might be 3 weeks in a row where Andy Dalton is the number one topic. Better tune in next week to find out, people. Next week, Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
And I'm going to tell you, dude, in two of those leagues we talked about, I drafted Dak and Zeke in two of those leagues together like the Cowboys going to do it. Yeah. Appreciate everybody for listening to the show. So I was a believer. I was on the Cowboy train with you. So don't get too mad at me. I was on the Cowboy train with you.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
No, you weren't.
Dak Prescott,
no, you weren't. No, you weren't.
Jump off that train before you die.
Yeah, get off the train.
Get off that train. Get off that train.
I'm a Cowboys fan. All right, guys.
Yeah.
We're officially in the OT here. We're going to talk about some predictions here. To keep the show going, I think I'm going to give you guys one game to talk about. We're not going to talk about the bum fight between the Giants and the Eagles just yet. We're going to save that. But let's talk about you guys can pick a game you guys want to talk about. We got the Steelers and Titans. We got the Seahawks at the aforementioned Cardinals. We got the Bucks who whipped up, kicked that ass on the Packers, the Steelers. We got the Bucks and the Raiders, and you got the Bears at the Rams. The surprising Bears, Nick Foles is ready to roll, man, and then at the Rams. So, you guys, I'm going to let you guys kind of pick whatever game you want to talk about just to keep everything going. So, we want to talk about a couple hires in the NBA, a couple things happening with that, too. So, Rob, I'll let you kind of pick the first game, JQ. Then Gary, Curtis, and then Naj. So you guys can pick a game you want to talk about here. You see in the chat?
Who's going first?
You
can go first. You pick a game you want to talk about. Because, again, I'm trying to get, like, each game, if you will. Because we'll be here all day if we get, like, all y'all talking for all of them. So, all
right, let's see.
Let's see.
What's the game I want to talk about here? Hey, why not the Steelers and the Titans? Both teams are undefeated.
Probably
one of the better games of the weekends. And, the Steelers just kicked the Cleveland Browns' ass 38-7. The Titans had a nail-biting win over the Texans 42-36 with a dumb call by what's the interim coach there going for two when they shouldn't have? What's the guy's name?
Romeo Crennel? Who are you talking about?
Yeah, Romeo Crennel. But I'm going to go with the Titans on this one at home. If you look at Ryan Tannehill, this guy's got like 8 touchdowns in the last 2 games. And, obviously he's a guy that's, really rejuvenated his career in Tennessee. And then Derrick Henry, I mean, oh, my goodness.
Dude.
And the way he's running the football, the way he just threw the guy to the ground 2 weeks ago, and then he come back and run for over 200-some yards. And then you got a team overall that's playing good on special teams and defense. I look for this to be a really good football game. I'm going to go with Tennessee to win by a field goal at home, 27-24.
I like that pick because I didn't want to have to talk about that game for reasons. I would have picked the Titans. I'm going to leave it to my folks for the Seahawks and the Cardinals, the Bucks and the Raiders. And the reason why I say that, John Gruden and Derek Carr, are you for real? Because, I mean, you just came off a victory over the Chiefs, and you go into a bye, and you come out of that playing a Tampa team that is sky high after just dismantling the Packers after falling behind 10-0 and just rolling them. So what do? You're playing at home. You got them coming in. You don't have the crowd, but you got another litmus test kind of game. You had one before the bye. You pass that test. You got a bye to lick your wounds, get everybody healed, and go into that with 2 weeks to prepare for what Tom Brady is currently doing in 2020. What are you going to do, Raiders? Are you going to make that AFC West a two-horse team, a two-horse race? Because you've proven to Kansas City you can do it, but if you fall and lose to the Bucks now, you take one step forward, take another step back. If you beat both of them, you announce yourself on the scene as a contender. So I'm looking at that game, but I can't bet on Derek Carr. I'm going to go with Old Man River, Tom Brady, and the Bucks to find a way to win by 3 points.
Good stuff.
I agree with you on that one. Curtis, which game do you want to look at? Well, you know what? I want to talk about the Steeler game and Titan game as well because, Rob, you know, you picked the Titans and, for obvious reasons. But I'm going to go with the Steelers in that game. I think that this is going to be a tough defense that they're going to be going up against.
They break his headphones.
Yeah, yeah. I think
land
the
him to the ground.
I think the Steelers are going to win that game. Am I wrong again, JQ?
No, I think the Steelers are going to win that game.
Thank you. Titans, Titans, man, that's a scary team, man. Derrick Henry is running all over that, man. So it's going to be a physical game. That may play right into the
That's
going to
be a very
Titans
physical game. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be really close. But I think that, you know, the Steelers are one of those teams that, you know, over the years, they just find a way to beat that team, you know. And
this was a year. Honestly, going into this year, I thought the Steelers were going to be a little down. I really did. But they, Mike Tomlin gang has really done a phenomenal job. Got to give them a lot of credit. They've been physical in the line of scrimmage, both offensive and defensively. And overall, their defense has been solid on all three levels. The offensive line, and they found some playmakers. Chase Claypool, Juju doing his thing. And James Conner, they got a little depth at the running back position, too. And, and of course, getting Roethlisberger back healthy, too, is key, too. So, hey, you got to tip your hat to him. But I do think Tennessee is going to win that game at home.
You know what it feels like? It feels like one of those old-school Steelers-Ravens games. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
One of those 12-9 games, you know what I mean? Like the Steelers-Ravens back in the day where the points were at a premium. It feels like that kind of game.
Yeah, my team.
I'm thinking of fighting them.
You guys know that Nick Foles is going into my Hall of Fame. You guys know that. Nick Foles is my man. Going into the Hall of Fame. And you know what I saw this weekend?
Your Hall of Fame?
Yeah. You know what I saw this weekend? I remember after Chicago beat Tampa Bay and Brady walked off the field, Brady didn't want to deal with, and that's why he's in my Hall of Fame. Brady's even scared of Nick Foles.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Brady's but after he did his little hip thrust, in his, after Aaron Rodgers did this little hip thrust in that game against Tampa Bay this weekend.
That's a discount double check.
And we watched Dominic and Sue kick his ass and pick him up and talk doo-doo about him and then push him back down again and again and again. But I saw Tom Brady. He didn't hesitate to go over and talk to Aaron Rodgers and laugh and joke with Aaron Rodgers. But my man Nick Foles has got that man scared to death. That's why that man is in my Hall of Fame.
You're mixing up scared with contempt. He looks at Nick Foles as beneath him. He looks at Nick Foles as less than, as he should. That lucky, raggedy second-string quarterback who somehow is winning games. That Chicago team is terrible. I don't know how they're 4-1, but this will not
stand.
This will not stand. Oh, 5-1. My God. Yeah,
they won. Yeah, they didn't win.
As far as Pittsburgh, Tennessee, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh for this reason. I think everybody is going to try to force them to run because their passing game is lethal. Now, that jersey may say Claypool, but I know Randy Moss when I see him. Randy Moss is dressing up for the Steelers every week, and Claypool is on the back of the jersey. That's Randy Moss, y'all. Don't fall for that.
No more shots for you. No more shots for you. Randy Moss rolling his grave to call him Chris Claypool.
Hey, look. That kid and this is not no regular rookie stuff. Like, that kid is amazing, which is why they've created a goal line package for him to run the ball. Like, jet sweep stuff for him. Like, that kid is a problem, and you'll see that throughout the season. But, yeah, I think Pittsburgh is going to win this game. As far as the other game, John Gruden sent the whole offensive starting line home with COVID concerns because one of them caught it. So we'll have to see how that plays out during the week, whether some of them are able to play or some of them have to stay home. because this is a big game against Tampa, and if they don't have their starting offensive line, oh my God, yeah, that's a nasty offensive line.
They're getting up in age, but that Raiders offensive line is nasty. They are real physical.
Yep.
And I actually think if the Raiders are healthy in this game, I give them an excellent shot at beating Tampa Bay.
Me too. Nice. But if they have to roll out practice squad guys and second stringers,
that could
be a problem. Right. So, yeah, this should be a good NFL week, man. We got some nice matchups, two undefeated teams, and we shall see. And also Atlanta versus Detroit. Yes, baby. Yes. Over under at 56 right now. Yeah, a whole lot of scoring, shootout, terrible defense. Let's get it. Hopefully Detroit beats us. Get that take, bro.
Well, we've got one more game that's going to be a good one, and that's Arizona. They're hosting the Seahawks. That's a divisional game. Kyle Murray went up to Seattle and beat them. Now it's Russell Wilson's turn to come down and try and return the favor. I think that's going to be a good game.
The Arizona loses. I think Arizona can sneak up on some good teams. But when they're matched up, like, in a tough one against good teams, I think they're going to get boat raced. They're not ready. They need another year or so. But, yeah, I think Seattle's going to roll, man.
I don't think so.
I was there last year when they beat up Seattle.
In Seattle.
They jumped on Seattle. One of the things I saw last year, I walked in the stadium, and I sat in my seat. And the next thing I know, that Kendrick Drake from 80 yards out was in the corner of the end zone on the first play of the game. Holy smoke. And they jumped on Russell Wilson like he stole something. Arizona's going to break some people's.
Hold on, Gary.
Russell
Wilson. Seattle now. The last thing you want to do is score early. That means Russell gets to pass more. Like, you don't even want those problems. You don't want shootout issues with Seattle anymore.
Arizona actually seems to play better the tougher the competition is, from what I've noticed, too. And when they have a tough opponent, they seem to play really tough, too. So I give them a little bit of a chance. I still like Seattle to win on the road. And, you know, Seattle's coming off a bye week. Arizona's coming off playing a game on Monday night. And even though Seattle has to go on the road.
Two teams on a bye week.
Right.
I still like Seattle to go and win this game, but I think it's going to be a shootout. I look for this game to be a 34-30 kind of win for Seattle. And here's why I think Arizona's defense is pretty good. Not a lot of people are talking about it. Buda Baker was just incredible, and he's been incredible all season. He has been outstanding. Arizona's defense is pretty good. I mean, they did lose Chandler Jones, so it's probably going to hurt them a little bit. And another thing we got to remember.
And they ain't playing Andy Dalton. They're playing
Seattle's
Russell.
Defense is poo. Seattle's D. They might get Jamal Adams back this week, and that's probably going to help them. But Seattle,
right.
If we talk about, you know, LSU can't stop the six of us, Seattle's defense can't stop the six of us either. They better hope Jamal Adams comes back if they're going to have any chance of slowing down Arizona and Kyler Murray in this game. But I still like Seattle a little bit in this game. I just go with Russell Wilson experience over Kyler Murray. I'm going to go 34-30, but I definitely expect a shootout in this one.
Oh yeah,
let me add to that Pittsburgh Tennessee thing. We almost forgot. Tennessee played two games in 7 days. When you can still win, when you got that kind of turmoil going around you, you may be in for a special season. So we need to watch Tennessee for the rest of this year. Tannehill is showing well. He's throwing to AJ Brown and Jonu Smith. Like Tennessee is that's a team to watch, man. Because you normally don't do that. That quick turnaround to turn around and win.
Yeah.
Watch them.
That's Mike Vrabel, baby. That's okay. Of course.
Then you got an offensive line, and then you have a running back who's straight up dump trucking people.
Yes.
Outrunning folks too, man. That dude. Whenever I saw him outrun, I'm like, what? That dude is that fast? He was outrunning that. I was like, whoa. That dude that big. Man,
yeah, he looks like a creative player.
It's ridiculous.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's not even.
Like you spent all your money. Like.
Yeah. That's true.
I was amazed.
Poor Josh Norman, they're gonna be playing that play for the rest of his life.
Oh my god.
I was amazed last Sunday.
Like a Jordan meme.
Watching that shipwreck in Philadelphia. Watching that shipwreck in Philadelphia, they almost came back on a team I thought was a monster. They was making Baltimore look like, what were they doing? Baltimore almost did the same with that win. And that was amazing to see from a team that is that messed up. And this game tomorrow, if I see the same thing they did to Baltimore, I don't think the Giants have a chance tomorrow.
Oh, they're going to be
that's
good.
That's the team. That's the team.
Hey,
they put off the
gas. Carson Wentz is Blake Bortles now. They get beat up four quarters, and then they score points in a wasted effort fourth quarter comeback, and then he gets to look like he had a good game from the stats. But if you watch that game, he was terrible that first half.
Oh, he was hooking
his
butt. I mean, I think
weapons and everything else. But
yeah.
Are you a
yeah? But that's one thing. He's fighting with one hand behind his back, and you got to give him that piece of it. No DeSean Jackson, no Alshon Jeffrey. He lost Goddard. Now he's lost Ertz, and Sanders is hurt. Like, take all that away from another quarterback and see how well they do.
But they expect to get DeSean Jackson back, but he lose Miles Sanders. But you got, hey, don't forget, they got that running back who ran over the Cowboys last year, Boston Scott from Louisiana Tech.
Oh, goodness.
And they got a guy from LaSalle. They got a guy from LaSalle. I didn't even know they played football in LaSalle. Where did he come from?
Wow.
Matter of fact, where is LaSalle?
Oh, yeah, Lionel Simmons. You remember him, huh? You remember Lionel Simmons from LaSalle.
That's pretty damn funny.
We
is that an island?
Yeah.
Yes, we are. Old, and that's why we've seen Sertan Jr. as a draft prospect, when we all watch Sertain in his prime, that's where we are.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Dolphin stuff. Doing good for the Dolphin. Hey, guys, let's talk about something. We're going to switch to the NBA real quick. We got about 10 minutes here. Want to talk about really quickly, JQ, about the Lakers when that career-ending injury exception on Luol Deng's salary. And then congrats, Rob. You guys get your boy Stan Van Gundy, the new coach of
I don't know if that's anything you should be congratulating me on. I don't know if that's anything we're excited about. Like, when has he won a championship?
I mean, he took Orlando to the finals. He just lost to Kobe. I mean, who else was you going to get?
Hey, now you raise the question of why fire your boy?
He needed to go, man. That's another defensive team that didn't stop nobody.
They couldn't stop a statue
from scoring.
I don't think that's an Alvin Gentry issue. I think that was a youth issue.
No, that was the Alvin Gentry. If you look at Alvin Gentry's history and coaching in this league, none of them ever played defense. When he was with Phoenix, when he was with Detroit, when he was with the Pelicans, none of them. The dude will never coach defense.
That's true. My thing is, I think that's a good hire for Stan.
So Stan is at least going to come in and coach some defense.
Yeah, I'll give Stan a chance. Stan knows a lot about basketball, and you can make fans of Van Gundy's if you want to. He took that Orlando team to the finals. They just lost to Kobe. He had Dwight Howard and some 3-point shooters, and they made that work. I don't know if that's going to work necessarily in New Orleans, but in terms of developing a player, I think he could find a way to do that. I just don't think there was any sexy splash in them to go get where you're like the Pelicans. You gotta go get this dude right here, make this better. I feel like Alvin Gentry had to go, but I think Stan Van Gundy's a better coach than Alvin Gentry. I just don't think there's anybody out there that was like, you know, if the Pelicans don't get this guy, then they have failed. That dude just didn't exist for them this year. To me personally, as I look at it, who was a great coach to come out? Like you look at the Pacers. Saying they was going to hire all these five dudes, and they ended up hiring the assistant coach. You know,
look at that Ryan Fitzpatrick. I didn't know his beard had got that bad. Man, that's worse than Jimmy Butler's mustache.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. So from the Pelican standpoint, I don't think that's a bad hire. But for the Lakers, that's not going to happen. That's just somebody that says, how can we maximize AD and LeBron? Every $1 million counts. So if we can stop playing Luol Deng until 2024, we're going to try to get from underneath that. And that's all it is from the Lakers.
Right.
You're dribbling, you shoot. If the ball don't go in the hole, at least you tried, you shot the ball. That's all it is. They're trying, but I don't think it's going to happen for them. They knew what was going to happen when they put him on that stretch clause, that they was going to go this long. But they didn't know they were going to mess around into LeBron and AD. And it was like, damn. We could probably get us a whole another shooter for $2.5 million chasing the ring. Damn, we ain't got it because we got to pay Luol Deng. That's what it is.
Well,
yeah,
I don't think Van Gundy is going to be a bad coach.
The Lakers would be able to use a non-taxpayer mid-level exception if they were able to make that work, which will possibly allow them to possibly get a starter-type player this offseason and next offseason if they were able to get that, if the NBA were able to agree to that now. You know,
they're saying that
Luol, the Lakers want to go out and get a third star this
injured.
Year. They want to go out and see what
they can
do.
Hold on. I got you. Let me say this real quick. They're trying to say that Luol retired because he got injured on the Lakers, but he went to Minnesota for a whole nother year, then got hurt again, and then retired. So they got a real thin case. I doubt the NBA gives them this, man.
Hey, empty light, baby. Paper thin.
That's what's up. Oh, man.
He went to a whole lot of Rob, I got a question for you. Who was in the running for the Pelicans job other than Van Gundy? Who would you have liked to have seen in there that was actually in the running?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that. But if you ask me, I was just saying I don't know if that's anything to congratulate us on. That's all I was saying. I mean, you know. Prove me wrong. I mean, I don't really know. I know they interviewed Tyronn Lue. They made a phone call to Doc, but he signed up with the Sixers in one visit. And, I don't really know, but I still don't know if there's anything we should be getting congratulated on. That's all. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the problem with the small market teams is they don't have you don't get that. Whatever, you know, like the Lakers, they're going to get whoever they want because they're the Lakers or the, you know, any of the big teams. And with the small market teams, we get that second tier guy if we're lucky. And that's just how the NBA works.
If you got Brandon Ingram, you can make a great hire. The problem is they made a lateral move. Alvin Gentry is just as good as Stan Van Gundy. There was no reason.
I don't agree with that.
They should have brought him back.
I don't agree with that. I think Stan Van has had a lot more. When you look at their coaching, Stan Van Gundy, I'm not saying I'm excited about the hire, but he's got over 500% winning percentage in the NBA, both in the regular season and in the playoffs. Elvin Gentry's got a losing coaching percentage in the regular season and in the playoffs.
when Elvin Gentry had a winning team, he went to the Western Conference Finals.
How many times did he do that?
Nash was on his last legs.
They did that one year, and the next year they missed the playoffs.
Alvin Gentry is a good – he's a good coach. He coached the Clippers in the early 90s. When we talk about the Ron Harper, Mark Jackson stuff. Like, he's a good coach, man. Stan Van Gundy.
Alvin Gentry is best suited to be an offensive coach as an assistant coach, not as a head coach.
His teams do not play any defense. Well, you decided that, but that don't make it true. Like, he's a good coach, man. Van Gundy, you'll see.
Come on, next year. Name me an Elvin Gentry team that play good defense. You're gonna be up all night trying to think about it.
No. Give me one that had the roster to do so. Like, it's the NBA, man. Roster is everything with how you play.
Hey, man, stop talking about Nash's cousin, man. Come on, man. Leave Elvin Gentry alone, man.
I know, I sound like an Alvin Gentry homer on the call, right? Right.
So JQ said he looks like your average deacon in the church, right?
He looks like a shady deacon in the church.
I think he's a good coach.
You guys know we're out here in the West.
Gary and I are out here in the West. And so I did radio and talk show guys from around the West. And right now, the city of L.A. is in a little bit of euphoria. They got a basketball champion. I think they got a hockey champion. I think they got a soccer champion.
Tampa won the championship in hockey.
Tampa won.
But they might get a baseball champion out of L.A. And they think they're still in the running to be a football champion. But I think that's where Arizona comes in. I think Arizona is going to break a bunch of people's heart out west. And because of Arizona, I'm not really sure who can win the West out here.
I think it's still Seattle's division to win. I thought it was their division to win before the season. I still think it's theirs. I mean, hey, they got Russell Wilson. He's playing like the MVP in the league. Obviously, they have some liabilities on defense. I expect Pete Carroll to – I expect them to be the best defense in the league, but I think Carroll turns it around to a standpoint where they can be a middle-of-the-pack defense to really help them along. Chris Carson, is he running the ball effectively? The offensive line is better. Damian Lewis, the first-round draft pick out of LSU, has been phenomenal from a run-blocking standpoint. If he can just quit with those false start penalties on the passing game, he might be a chance to be an all-pro as a rookie. But anyway... they're running the football. They got Russell Wilson. Hey, they got some. You got to look at their wide receivers now too. Tyler Lockett is really performing at a high level, and the kid from Ole Miss is really playing well too.
Rob, what Curtis is talking about is not that Arizona would necessarily win the division, but they have that ability to split with every team in the division. And then that makes that a little more mucky. That makes that,
That's so another thing I said before the season. I said watch Arizona for getting to the playoffs this year, especially with seven teams. Mm-hmm. They're a sneaky pick. And Arizona is really good on defense, too. And if you look at it, they're playing better defensive football in Seattle right now. That's what's going to give them a chance.
I like
Murray to improve his accuracy a little more, though.
Arizona's
1 year ahead of schedule. They're nice. They're going to be a spoiler. They're gonna contend for that last playoff spot, but they're a year ahead of schedule. Next year, they're going to be a problem. But this year, it's Seattle, man. I'm sorry.
Well, right. But what we're saying is if they split with those teams, then that makes it, that's a murky situation there.
Who's going
with the Rams or the Niners
and Seattle.
Seattle.
They're going to ruin somebody.
Might be best division in football right now,
those
too.
Those upper-tier NFC West teams don't lose to bad teams. Arizona still loses to bad teams because they're young. They're still growing and figuring things out. So, will they lose to Detroit and whoever else back-to-back? Like,
Carolina.
Carolina.
Yeah, they're still growing now. They'll get there, though. Yeah. And Kyler Murray's the real deal. I don't know why anybody doubted that kid. He's the real deal.
If he improves his accuracy, when he improves that, because he is, you know, that's what's going to take him to the – you watch that game the other night. He missed some wide-open throws in that game. I mean, they could have beat the Cowboys 56-10 instead of 38-10 if he'd have hit on some of his throws. And it would have been a lot worse.
I thought we were off the Cowboys fan. I thought we'd already done that.
We had a power outage the last time.
Do we have to turn this power off on you guys again? We have to.
The
power went out.
We got 90 seconds
Between the AFC West, the NFC West and the AFC North are probably the two best divisions in football right now.
If you had a chance to draft anybody in the NFL, the first pick would be Kyler Murray because of his age, his contract, and his ability. That kid is that good.
Nice.
I don't know, man. I think I'll still take Mahomes right now, though.
I agree.
I would go Mahomes.
I give all that
Mahomes
money
might
too.
Be just a couple of years older, but I will go with Mahomes. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with a 12th Man.
as I said before, we got to find out. You got to tune in next week to see if we're going to have more Andy Dalton talk. It's going to be exciting. Next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. from you all. Make sure you tune in Maui, in Honolulu. I know y'all off of the COVID restrictions. Y'all letting tourists back in now. So definitely, hey, tune in. Make some time tune in to our show now on next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
And we will talk about one thing next week. We'll talk about the big trade.
Oh, man.
Block Talk
got
me out. Block Talk,
yeah,
Block Talk is acting up, guys. Dude, I don't know what has happened. I got.
I don't know what to do behind that. Like,
what the hell going on?
I don't know how to do behind that. But I will tell America, if you download this podcast, now that Andy Dalton is starting for the rest of the year, we are going to definitely talk about Andy Dalton every freaking week. And I'm going to put this out here this way. He is going to have a good game against the Redskins, and we're going to bring it back up and say, oh, I told you. He's like Fitzpatrick. You're going to get one up and one down. Watch him have a good game against Washington, and these two in the corner are like, yeah. We 3-4. We gonna be back. We gonna be somebody. We gonna win it. Watch them. Watch them next week.
And remember,
the Eagles gonna win it tomorrow night. So y'all better be the football team on Saturday, on Sunday.
I'm picking the Giants tomorrow night. I don't believe in wins.
Oh, spicy, Gary, late at night.
Hey,
Pat Mahomes is playing on the highest cap number
in NFL history. Kyler Murray is still on a rookie deal. Like I said, the choice is Kyler if you build the team.
You're on borrowed time. You're going to have to pay that money.
The way JQ was talking,
JQ is going to turn America away from America's team. And that's going to be a tragedy.
I think America's already.
I'm not going to like that.
Hey, y'all made him a man of two countries, man. Y'all hired Andy Dalton. There's nobody forced y'all to do that, man. Y'all forced that on JQ.
Hey, mute him.
What do I do with my hands?
Andre's putting the Stephen A. Smith on. Is eating chocolate chip cookies and milk. Are we talking about the Cowboys?
I think Jerry got calm. I'm going to call Jerry up. Jerry, I think you got calm.
Gary, that's the best thing to say, because don't nothing piss a rich person off more than thinking somebody got over on him. Then he'd be willing to fire him, because even though he got a 5-year deal. Get the hell out of here. You ain't tricked me. You want to be a rich dude, man? That's how you make them think somebody got over on him.
Jerry, this is how Jerry would think. He would probably say, you know what? Let's fire this coach. Yeah, he's got 4 years left on his contract. Let's just raise the jerseys up $5 a piece. We'll get our money back.
That's Jerry.
Hey, get the deal out there for him.
That's a true statement, though. I can't argue with that.
Man, let Jerry think you made a fool out of Jerry. Oh, Jerry would be hot.
You both made very accurate statements. I can't argue with Nigel's point, but you're absolutely right. I'm going to charge you another $6.34 for this jersey and get it all back in the 18 months. Like,
yeah, we'll get that money back. It's not $8 for a chili dog.
Right. Jerry will just extend the fan experience. So 2 miles away, you can still see the stadium. So, I mean, I could put some lawn chairs out there and charge you $5 to still see the game. Like, you know, Jerry, man, you don't play.
Straight cash on me.
Andre, by the way, the lead that you're 5-1 in, JQ is also 5-1. But according to Yahoo, JQ is in first place. So just to recap on that.
Because I scored more points.
Yeah, he does. He has that like calories, nine or ten more points than you do.
I love it. Damn. Get him on the technicality.
I love it. Man, on the technicality, that's what it was, man. It was a technicality because, again, infinite hours.
Hey, look, I told y'all this year I lost a game on the Cincinnati Reds where the young Asian man, zero outs, bases loaded, the man hit into a triple play. I will never forgive him for that. I will take that to the grave. I'm still mad about that. So, yeah.
Damn, he is about to turn out the Asian man.
I don't know his name. Dude, he hit into a triple play with the bases loaded. Dude, I will never forget that. Ever. What are the chances of that? That's in the billions, right? That's in the billions, right?
A Jakey, you call that play?
Bases loaded, no out. Y'all can look it up on YouTube. It's right there. The Cubs. You can look it up.
We'll have to look it up. All right,
I'm going to bed.
Yeah,
just look it up.
Talking about his
Reds. My face when it happens.
Talking about his Reds. You ready to go to bed now?
He's like, I'm going to bed. No,
yeah. Thank you, that Tyreek Hill.
You like you said, some of those movies make you tired. I understand, JQ. Some of those movies you've been watching, it can make you tired. Get to bed.
You
gonna watch the Andy Dalton trilogy? So you go ahead and get you some warm milk and a nice blanket.
The trilogy.
Wow.
America. Next week, wow. Andy Dalton talk all week, man. Every single week, Andy Dalton. Can't get enough.
Wow.
So, have a good evening, man. Keep those over
you
the weekend.
You know Andy Dalton ain't used to this amount of cameras in his face after a game. He ain't used to this.
That's true, guys. That is 100% true, man. I'm going to ride this story, man, all the way, man. You can't make this stuff up, man. You cannot make this stuff up.
Shout out to Alvin Gentry, who I appear to be the fan club starter up. Like, I don't know what happened here tonight. But yeah, I guess I'm going to Alvin Gentry fan club.
0.287 in the NBA.
Rob, you dirty motherfucker.
I take that as a compliment coming from you.
What the hell you gotta bring stats to this, man? Why you gotta bring stats to this argument, man? Come on.
I didn't look that up, by the way. I'm sure I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I'm sure I'm not that far off.
That sounds so right, though. You're probably correct, man.
Hey, you guys. Garrett's gonna send all you guys a picture of that. What is it?
My new RV.
His new RV. So we'll be heading.
We'll be having that tailgate party.
Yeah, we'll be heading you guys way down.
We'll be going to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, we'll be
heading. You're invited. We're having a tailgate party.
Yeah,
I'm driving.
Come on
I'm
down.
All the way.
I don't know what the cover is going to be, but come on down.
I know they ain't picking my ass up.
So you want us going to have three guests that room. I want a parking spot, 40-foot parking spot for my motorhome, and could you have a hookup, electrical hookup?
Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah,
we just go park downtown and tell them to leave it alone. It's all good, bro.
Hey, you're not going to be paying an income tax in Florida. There's no income tax in Florida. You got it.
Yeah, no state income taxes. Yeah, I'm already
paying
that taxes,
though.
Yeah.
You gotta cover that hookup.
Florida man, who is the number one police blotter in America for all types of nefarious things. So be careful down there, man. Florida man is
careful. Yeah, I agree. All right, gentlemen, get some rest, guys. See you guys same time next week, okay?
All right, fellas.
Stressing out, man. All
right,
Gentry.
Yep.
All right, y'all.
Peace out. Nah, that's what's up. Good job.
You talking about these dudes?